preach. Glad to today. I'll be going right after church today to Grace and Cerrito. And be preaching there. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. If you would, oh, where's Dave? Hey, Brad, give this to Dave. I forgot to give him that. Proverbs chapter 29. Goes right along with Brother Baxter's devotional. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. This idea of pride goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And what a costly lesson our first parents learned when they cast in their lot with the king over all the children of pride, Satan. Instead of simply taking God at his word and obeying the law of the garden, Adam willfully rebelled. Adam's pride and rebellion brought him so low that it killed him spiritually and separated him from God. Even worse, all of mankind was seminally in Adam. He is our federal head, which means that his sin, by way of, as our representative, he brought all men into the depths of degradation and depravity. So much so that everybody from Adam on down, who has ever been born with only one exception, is born into a state of deadness and depravity and ungodliness and a bent toward evil. We're all born into the miry pit of sin with no ability to lift ourselves or to make ourselves right with God. In spite of all the warnings that God has given to man, he still remains full of pride, arrogance, and stubbornness. The fleshly man, the carnal man, boasts of his abilities, his accomplishments, his wealth, his popularity, and his dead works. He boasts of his religiosity. He boasts of what he perceives to be his goodness. You know what God's estimation of the very best that any man in and of himself has to offer? God regards them as filthy rags. The righteousnesses of man, Isaiah 64:6, filthy rags. In Psalm 39 and verse 5, God says about man at his best state, at the very best he thinks he can be, is altogether vanity. That means less than nothing in comparison to God. We don't have nothing to be proud about in and of ourselves. Lost men pridefully reject the proclamations of free grace that are proffered in the gospel only to be brought down into the depths of the lake which burns with fire and brimstone for all eternity. Isaiah the prophet said this in chapter 12, verses 9 and 11. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You can be sure of this. God is going to humble all those who are proud, all those who are arrogant, all those who stubbornly refuse to bow to the dictates and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming for the proud. Ask, O wicked Haman, how low a man's pride will bring him down. One of my favorite books of the Bible is Esther, and how God's providence is seen in delivering the Jewish people and raising up a young maiden, a virtuous woman, to help in that. But Haman was so filled with pride, with self-importance, he lifted himself up, and he, even though everyone had shown him deference except for one little Jew, Mordecai, he couldn't bear it. He devised means whereby not only would Mordecai be killed, but all those who were kin to Mordecai, the Jewish people. This is how violent his pride was. And God turned it all around on Haman. Instead of him being exalted in the eyes of the Persian kingdom, it was Mordecai who was exalted. And it was Haman who was hung on his own gallows that he had built for Mordecai. After being exposed for his jealousy, envy, cruelty, and hatred, he was the one publicly humiliated and then hung to die on the very gallows that he had built for his nemesis. Jesus echoed the truth of our proverb. He said in Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. George Lawson said this: God is the enemy of the proud. He looks upon them with disdain and abhorrence and will abase them. Pride itself is the enemy of the proud and will bring them down from the highest honors to the deepest pit of disgrace. What was it but pride that brought Haman to the gallows and made angels devils? Let us all beware of the devil's firstborn sin and learn humility from him who was meek and lowly in heart. There are reminders of pride, even in believers, which if left unmortified, will do them great hurt. For any man's pride will bring him low till his spirit be effectually humbled. You know, as I read this proverb, it made me think how different are God's ways with man's ways. If you listen to most people, in our world today, especially those who are most prominent, men brag and boast on one another as they exalt their accomplishments. Men applaud one another at galas and at award shows. And their pride moves them to exalt themselves as they strive to be the center of attention. I believe there is definitely room for recognition for a job well done. We've already studied that proverb. But every time that someone may give us a word of thanks or praise, in our hearts, we have to know that it's all due to the grace of God. Like Paul the Apostle, we have to say with our spirit and our demeanor, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, there are people that I know that they'll be praised or complimented, and they really go to great lengths to say, it's not me, it's the grace of God. We just got to make sure that we come off as sincere and genuine, that it really comes from within, that it's of the Lord. And it's not just a one-day thing. It's the way we live our lives. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. It's amazing to me to think that the man who demonstrated the most meekness, gentleness, kindness, love, and grace was put to death by way of cruel crucifixion, with no mercy shown, openly humiliated, hated, spat upon, nailed to a tree of cursing, died in ignominy and disgrace among men. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, His life, His death, His resurrection, His teachings, His manner of life have literally changed the world. God exalted His Son and gave Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. How we ought to learn from our example. In fact, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you. We're to be yoked with Him in humility and in grace. You know, God resists the proud, and He exalts the humble. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It is the humble that God chooses to dwell with. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I will forever praise the God of all grace, who brought me to an end of myself, who made me to renounce and despise my sinful pride, and to humbly acknowledge that I am absolutely nothing without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as a result, what a debtor I am to God and His grace for bringing me so low that I could look nowhere but to Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again for my unworthy soul. Because I believe that's what God does when He saves a sinner. He brings them to an end of themselves. He makes them to see that they're wallowing in their own wickedness and even in their own self-righteousness. And the very fact that we are saved by grace through faith implies that we cannot look to ourselves. We got to look outside of ourselves to the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Salvation by grace. There's no room there for any pride, for any arrogance. If you believe you're saved by grace, you have to believe it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with the finished work of Jesus and the power that He exercises in humbling you and then bringing you to faith. How thankful I am that He saved me, and how thankful I am for His chastening hand that afflicts me when my heart begins to fill with pride. When I pray, Lord, help me to preach a good sermon today. Help me to deliver a good message today. Do I do it because do I pray that way because my motives are pure? That's what I desire. But men are men. And sadly, men love to hear the praise of men. We constantly got to be on guard against the wickedness of human pride, sinful pride. And I'm thankful when the Lord brings me low, when His grace humbles me still and draws me away from that which man pridefully esteems, to get back to looking only to the Savior, to His greatness, His glory, His righteousness, His power. I long for the day of emancipation when I will be forever released from the death of this old fleshly nature that is often so bent toward pride and arrogance and jealousy and envy and bitterness of soul. I'm glad for the day when I'll be free from all sin, when I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus bearing only His glorious image, completely done away with all the sins of that old nature. This old vile body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I will be one in mind and spirit. There will be a holy union between me and the Savior that right now I have positionally. But when I'm glorified, it will be experientially, meaning that I will be conformed to His image, the image of the meek one, the lowly one, the lovely one, the gracious one. and no greater honor could ever be bestowed upon such an unworthy sinner than to bear the blessed image of our great Savior. I refer to this, Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself." We have this proverb as a warning. We have examples of those who lifted themselves up who were brought down low. Let's learn from it. Let's determine today to walk humbly with our God and not seek to exalt ourselves above that which glorifies God. Let's not feel slighted if we don't receive compliments that we may think we may deserve, because God alone deserves the glory. May the Lord humble our hearts so that we depend upon Him. We're dismissed.